One more time. So just see how expert Krishna is. It's exactly 8 o'clock. I finished the 4th and 5th cantos within 1 hour. Krishna is amazing. If you surrender to Krishna, He will perform amazing things with you. Okay, we have 1 hour left. Are you prepared to stay one more hour? Are you determined? Alright, sit properly, as Prabhupada would say. And we'll go to the 6th canto. Tomorrow, who's going to come tomorrow? Oh, very good. Come on, all the hands should be up. We want to see you. You want them all to come tomorrow. And prasad will be even better tomorrow, right? There'll be better prasadam tomorrow. Because that is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is ever increasing. Before I was a devotee, I would, when my gurus were the Beatles. Before I found Prabhupada, the Beatles were my gurus. And they had a song, "It's getting better all the time." Little did I know, they didn't know, but now I realize, what are they talking about? Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means it's getting better all the time. That's Krishna consciousness. Yes. All right. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And before I go any further, I want to express my happiness that my long-time student, Narihari, has come. I'm very, very happy that you have come. Let's bless Narihari and his family. Thank you for coming. And are we on for Tuesday? Yet? Let's discuss. I'm looking forward to that. Alright, 6th canto. Prabhupada entitled 6th canto, Prescribed Duties for Mankind. And we heard last night that there are 10 subject matters in Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of those items, one of the 10 items is Poshana, merciful protection by the Lord. And that is a topic that comes up in this 6th canto, especially at the very beginning. So the 6th canto, this is how it begins. At the end of the 5th, Maharaj Parikshit heard about how to go to hell. So Parikshit was thinking, oh my God, so many people are going to go to hell. Is there any way for them to be saved from going to hell? Because the descriptions of the hellish planets, oh, they're devastating. So Parikshit was worried how to save people from hell. So Shukadeva Goswami explains that by performing pure devotional service, you can get saved from this material world. And he says, in this connection, I'm going to tell you an old story, the story of Ajamila. And for me, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bhagavatam, because it gives you so much hope. Okay, so here's the story. Ajamil was a young Brahmin boy, and his father was training him how to be a nice Brahmana. And one day he was sent out to perform some duties. And on the way, he saw this lusty man and a prostitute in public doing nonsense things, kissing and hugging. And it was very startling scene for Ajamil. And he tried to look away, but the dormant lusty desires Just by seeing this, the dormant lusty desires sprouted up. And he, as we learn from Bhagavad Gita, very important section of Bhagavad Gita, that by contemplating the objects of the senses, you develop attachment. And from that attachment, lust develops. And when lust develops, eventually you lose intelligence, you lose memory, and you fall down deeper into the material world. So Ajamil, upon seeing this scene of the Sudraman and the prostitute embracing and kissing and doing all kinds of things, it awoke some lusty desires in his heart. So Ajamil decided he wanted that prostitute for himself. To maintain the prostitute, he developed a very dacoit-like existence. He performed all kinds of sinful activities just to maintain and keep the prostitute. And Prabhupada mentions that he was eating the food cooked by the prostitute. And so that was also further contaminating him. That's why you are all very fortunate that you have devotee wives who cook food and offer it to Krishna. When you eat food offered to Krishna, you become purified. So it's very fortunate. So those of you who are not married, I'm warning you, when you get married, make sure the girl knows how to cook nice food and offer it to Krishna. That's why I married my wife. I married her because she was expert cook, among other things. But keep that in mind. Don't just go for the sugar-coated candy outside look, because that goes away very soon. Look in here. Look what kind of person. Goes both ways. Both ways. Don't just marry somebody because he's buff and he has a six-pack abs or he makes $1 million. No. Make sure he has a devotee heart. That's the thing. Huh? Yes. Continuing from, we discussed this last night. So, Ajamil was committing more and more sinful activities just to keep and maintain the prostitute. And he had 10 children with this prostitute. And the last son, who was his favorite, by some way or another, Krishna inspired him to name the child Narayan. Everybody say. That was a blessing of Krishna upon Ajamil because of the little devotional service he did when he was a nice Brahmin boy. He had gained some pious credit and he had done some devotional service. So even now he has become a most sinful person. Still, Krishna blessed him. And you name Krishna, he does like that. He prompted, name this boy. What was the name? Okay. So, Ajamil is living his sinful life. He's doing all kinds of criminal and sinful activities. Then one day, he's lying. He's an old man. And he sees these ghastly people coming. How many people saw the movie Ghost? Right? I swear they must have read Bhagavatam. You know the scene, right? When the Yamadutas come. How many know what I'm talking about? When I saw that, I said, my God, they must have gotten Prabhupada's books. Where else are you going to find that? I was like ecstatic. My wife made me go to the movie. I didn't want to go. But then when I saw the Yamadutas, I was like, yeah, this is a good movie. And they came twice. They appeared twice. And it was just like they were gnarly and growly. So Ajamil sees these four ghastly personalities. I guess they look like that rock group. What are they called? Kiss. They had the... You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know the group Kiss? They look like Yamadutas. Yes. So Ajamil was becoming extremely afraid because they had ropes in their hand and they were coming for him and they were going to drag him to hell. So Ajamil, out of great fear, out of great anxiety, he called out for his son. He said, Narayan! Everybody! If you saw the Yamadutas, is that how you do it? Make believe the Yamadutas are coming. Now say it. Come on. Now you don't have to worry. Yamadutas aren't coming for you, but I'm worried. So he screamed out the name, but he wasn't calling Narayan. He was calling his son. But it didn't matter. The real Narayan heard and he sent his messengers, go. He has called my name, deliver him. So the servants of Lord Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas, come and they tell the Yamaduta, stop! You cannot take this Ajamil. He is sinless because he has chanted the name of our master. Now the Yamadutas, they know their stuff. So they said to the Vishnu Dutas, wait a second. And they, you know, if you get pulled over by the police, they can go in their car and a computer and they can say, oh, you got this, you got this. You know, they can pull your rap sheet. Right? So the Yamadutas, they had the rap sheet on the Ajamil and they said, what do you mean we can't take him? He did this, he did this, they knew everything Ajamil did. How you can stop us from taking? But the Vishnu Dutas explained, and this is a very important concept. The Vishnu Dutas said, it doesn't matter, because Ajamil called out the name of Narayan in that helpless condition, even though he wasn't really indicating Narayan, the sound Narayan is absolute. And Lord Narayan accepted. He's calling me. Now he is sinless. You cannot take him. So the conversation went back and forth and the Vishnu Dutas emerged victorious. And the Yamadutas went back to Yamaraj. And then Ajamil could see everything that was going on. And he was, wow. And he could appreciate, I have been saved. And then the Vishnu Dutas disappeared. So Ajamil now had a change of heart. And so he left his home. And he went to Hardwar. Anybody been to Hardwar? All right. So he went to Hardwar and he associated with devotees and rectified himself. And for some time he was a proper devotee in the association of devotees. And after some time, those Vishnu Dutas came back on an airplane and said, you can now come to Lord Narayan's abode. Just from uttering the name in that helpless condition. So when the Yamadutas went back, they questioned Yamaraj. They said, wait a second. This is the first time we've ever been checked. What's going on? Why were we checked? And Yamaraj was very happy to hear his servants say that they heard from the Vishnu Dutas the name. He was very happy. So Yamaraj explains, because the Yamaduta said, we thought you were supreme. Who is this Narayan? We thought you were the supreme. And Yamaraj said, no. Above me is Lord. And Yamaraj explained to the Vishnu, the Yamadutas, that what the Vishnu Dutas said is true, that by chanting the holy name of God, one is delivered. Simply by chanting. Please, never forget that. Simply by chanting, you are delivered. That is Lord Chaitanya's mission. He has come to give everyone the holy name. Initiation, not initiation, doesn't matter. Chant the holy name in whatever condition of life you are. Young, old, rich, poor, man, woman, clean, unclean, it doesn't matter. There are no hard and fast rules. Chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. Don't say, can't, can't, can't. Instead say, chant, chant, chant. Everybody chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Never, never underestimate the potency of the holy name. Regardless of your situation, if you're able to chant the holy name, that's your only qualification. If you have two ears and a tongue, you're qualified. How many have two ears and a tongue? All right, you can all chant. That's it. So Yamaraj explained to his Yamadutas that there are 12 Mahajans or authorities on the science of God or pure religion. And Yamaraj is one of them. Shukadeva Goswami is one of them, who is narrating Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni is another authority. So throughout Bhagavatam, you're hearing from the Mahajans. And whatever the Mahajans say, perfect. In first canto, there is the story of Bhishma. Bhishma is also a Mahajan. So throughout Bhagavatam, we're hearing the messages of the Mahajans and we are getting scientific knowledge. So this section ends with Shukadeva Goswami saying that nothing is better than the Sankirtan movement. Because the Sankirtan movement means the chanting of the holy name, everybody. All right, next section, the Daksha versus Narada. Last night, we heard the story of Daksha, how he offended Lord Shiva, the greatest devotee of them all. And because Daksha had offended Lord Shiva, Daksha was killed, but he was brought back to life when the head of a goat was placed on his body. And he came back to life. So eventually, Daksha gave up that body, took another birth, and in this birth, he was again a Prajapati, given special powers by Lord Brahma to create progeny. So once he went to a holy place and he worshipped Lord Narayan. And in offering these prayers to Lord Narayan, he had a particular desire in his heart. And what was that desire? Unlimited sex. But bona fide. So Lord Narayan blessed Daksha that he would have this special wife, and in this wife he could have unlimited sex, but he would create so much progeny. So in this way it was not sinful. But that was his desire. He wanted the facility of unlimited sex. So Daksha lived like that. And so he, once upon a time, created 10,000 sons. And with those 10,000 sons, they're known as the Haryashvas. He told these Haryashvas, young boys, I want you to go to the forest, to the holy place. I want you to perform austerities and penances. And when you're done, you're going to help me in creating progeny. That was his plan with his 10,000 sons. All of a sudden, Narada Muni finds out. So Narada Muni goes to the Haryashvas and he says to them, what are you doing here? And they explain, our father wants us to perform austerities and penances so that we can help him in creating progeny. So Narada, he's expert preacher. And he says to the Haryashvas, actually, you should not do this. You should take sannyas. So Narada's in preaching is so effective that he convinces the heart, yeah, he's right. So 10,000 sons take sannyas. Narada is the best preacher. Talk about a Sankirtan score. Where's Vedavit? Is Vedavit here? Vedavit, like, yes. Tomorrow? Okay. Anyway, he keeps score of his books, right? Narada keeps score of his disciples. So he's just made 10,000 disciples. So Daksha finds out, he's getting a little angry. This Narada. Never mind. So Daksha creates 1,000 sons, the Shabalashvas. And he says, all right, follow in the footsteps of your brothers. Go perform austerities, and after some time, when you have your power, because the potential power is penance. We learned that, Canto 2. Everything comes from penance. So the 1,000 sons, they go, and once again, Narada comes on the scene, does his covert operation of preaching, and convinces the 1,000 sons to take sannyas. And when Daksha finds out, now he's really angry. And he approaches Narada and he says, you, Narada, rascal! I am real sadhu. I follow the Vedic principles. I am a proper householder. I do everything according to Vedic injunction. But you, these boys were young and you've told them to take sannyas. They haven't even experienced the world. They haven't enjoyed their senses. You are a rascal. And I curse you, Narad. I curse you that from now on, you cannot stay any place more than 3 days. And Narada said, that's all right. Narada could have counter-cursed Daksha easily. Narada is more powerful than Daksha because Narada's potencies are spiritual. Narada could have finished Daksha in a second. But Narada, what did he do? He allowed Daksha to vent and vent and vent, and he just stayed there, didn't retaliate. Just like last night, we heard about Lord Shiva, how when Daksha was blaspheming him, he didn't retaliate. So Narada was the same way. He accepted the curse. That's all right. Because Narada doesn't want to stay in one place. Because Narada knows if I stay in one place, I might get attached. And Narada does not want to get attached to anything in the material world. He's attached to... Who is he attached to? Everybody say. Yes. He wants to... And he's sannyasi. So sannyasis are not meant to stay in what they're meant to travel and preach. Roam the world. Traveling. Just like Jayapataka Maharaj. He travels all over, does he not? Yes. Another one of my idols. Flying here, flying. He's like Narada. Flying. Program here, another country, another continent. Yes. So in this way, Narada was cursed by Daksha, but it was okay. Then the next kata, Indra defeated by Dhritarasura. So once upon a time, Indra is sitting on his throne with his wife, and all the demigods are doing a puja. They're worshipping Indra. They're glorifying him. And Indra is the king of heaven, so he's accepting all this adulation from the demigods. All of a sudden, his guru walks in, Brihaspati. But Indra's intoxicated. He does not offer his respects to his guru. And Brihaspati's looking at Indra thinking, he hasn't even offered respects to his spiritual master. I guess he doesn't need a spiritual master. So Brihaspati becomes invisible. And Indra realizes, I have offended my guru. And he's looking for Brihaspati to make up for his offense, but Brihaspati has made himself invisible. So as a result, because Indra has offended his guru, Indra and the demigods become weak. That is an important point. Why do you think Prabhupada instituted the daily Guru Puja? Prabhupada instituted that daily Guru Puja because Prabhupada knew if the disciples worship the Guru, they become powerful. They become strong. And Prabhupada wants his followers to be strong to preach the message of Krishna consciousness. As Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, a dead man cannot preach. If you want to be a preacher, you have to be strong. You have to be spiritually strong. You have to follow the principles. You have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to study the scriptures. You have to worship your spiritual master. Then you are endowed with spiritual power. So the Indra and the demigods, because they have offended their guru, they have become weak. The demons have conquered the demigods and have overtaken the heavenly planets. So Indra and the demigods, they go to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma says, okay, here's what you do. You find this Brahman Vishvarupa, and you accept him as your guru so that you can do your rituals, and in this way you will once again be powerful. So this Vishvarupa, he teaches Indra this very wonderful prayer, Narayan Kavacha. And the details of this Narayan Kavacha are stated here in this sixth canto. And you apply different syllables of the mantra to all the parts of your body. And it's also a kind of meditation. And this Narayan Kavacha makes you virtually invincible. So Indra performs this Narayan Kavacha. But then he finds out that this Vishvarupa, when he's doing sacrifices, he's also secretly offering oblations on behalf of the demons. And this makes Indra very, very angry. Because he doesn't want the demons to become powerful. So this The Vishvarupa had three heads. So out of anger, Indra cuts off the three heads of this Vishvarupa, and each of them becomes a bird. But he has killed his guru. So the father of Vishvarupa, his name is Tvashta. And now he's extremely angry that this Indra has killed my son. I will create someone very powerful to cause disturbance. But when Tvashta was chanting the mantras to create this demon, he made a slight mistake. And so when he created this demon, it came opposite of what he wanted. And he created this Vritrasura, powerful demon. And he attacked the demigods. And there was a tremendous battle between the demigods and Vritrasura. But the whole thing was, Vritrasura wanted to be defeated. Because he knew, if I'm defeated, I'm going to go back home, back to Godhead. So he gave Indra a good fight, but in the end, he accepted defeat because he knew, once I am properly killed, I'm going back to Godhead. And during the battle, at one point, Indra tries to use his thunderbolt weapon and it comes back and it didn't do anything. And Indra's going, oh my God, I've used my ultimate weapon and it came back. So Vritrasura says, come on, Indra, don't give up. You have to kill me. Come on, keep fighting. So finally, Vritrasura is killed and Vritrasura goes back home, back to Godhead. So naturally, Parikshit Maharaj, who is hearing this narration, wants to know what happened. So to do that,